are back.
You're listening to You Would Think, the Philly Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington. Joining me, as always, it's Mike Giletto.
What's up, buddy?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah, all right. We got a big show for you today. But before that, I'm here to tell you, you can find the show on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can find me at K Collington and Mike at Mike underscore Giletto. You can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcast, LastBreadOnSports.com, and our YouTube page, when Mike remembers to put the video up.
It's very rare, but...
It is rare, but again, we're working towards some extra content, and definitely go make sure to throw us a subscribe over there, and...
Just another way to listen.
Exactly. And the hockey season's coming up, and I'm going to be doing a little bit of traveling to go to hockey games this year, and maybe there'll be a vlog or two over there.
First preseason game's today.
First preseason game is today. We're recording Sunday morning, as usual. First preseason game is Sunday, I believe 1 o'clock.
Yeah,
against
like
the
that.
Islanders.
Yep.
They've announced the roster. It's, you know,
it's a preseason roster.
It's your young guns. Yeah. The other half are in Lehigh Valley, or I'm sorry, are in Voorhees. Scrimmaging right about now, actually. I think they started at 8:30, so that's probably just about to wrap up.
It's too early.
They're professional athletes.
That's early.
And they want to get the scrimmage done before the Eagles game. That's what it is.
That's probably what it is. Yep, that makes sense.
The preseason game is exactly lined up with the Eagles game.
Yep.
So getting into that Eagles game, we've kind of come to a decision on what we're going to do for Eagles games this year. We're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming game. Again, we're going to record before the Sunday game. We're going to give you a prediction. Obviously, by the time the show comes out, that prediction will be proven either right or wrong. But, you know, we'll have a little fun, and we'll talk a little bit about next week's game, too, just as a little bit of a preview, although we do acknowledge that a lot can change in a game, right? People get hurt. Right. People break out and get a bigger shot next week. But this week, the Eagles have the Bucs.
They do have the Bucs.
And I believe I said last week that it's a 3-touchdown win.
Is that what you said? But that
I said at least two.
You also said that before Ryan Fitzpatrick looked like Joe Montana.
I don't care. That's a 3-touchdown.
Throwing for 400 yards, touchdowns.
Against the Saints defense.
Yeah, Saints defense was good last year.
It's not the Eagles defense.
No, it's not. I agree with that, obviously. But
I think he throws 3 picks today.
I think he throws 3 picks.
Yep.
One
of which goes back for a touchdown.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm
going to say 35-14, Birds.
Okay, so you think... This Nick Foles-led offense. Nick Foles is the starter again here in week 2.
I think this Jay Ajayi-led offense.
Okay, so you just think they're going to run the ball
over the box.
I think
this Corey Clement-led offense.
Okay.
I think this Darren Sproles-led offense. I think they're going to run for 250 yards.
You think so?
Yep. Huge day for the Eagles running game. I think they're going to win by 3 touchdowns. I think if they don't win by 3 touchdowns, it's because they have their foot on Tampa's neck and take their foot off the pedal and coast.
You think so?
Grind the clock out in the second half. Nah, this game's going to be ugly. They're up by 2 touchdowns at the half.
What makes you so confident, though?
Tampa sucks.
They just beat the Saints who should have been in the conference finals.
Shoulda, but they weren't.
Okay. That's easy.
It doesn't matter.
It's easy to say, but
no,
they were one fluky miracle play away from being in that game against
the
Eagles.
How bad did the Eagles look week one against the Falcons?
They looked bad.
Okay. And they won the Super Bowl.
Sure.
New Orleans probably looked pretty bad last week.
Sure.
I didn't watch too much of that game. I caught a little bit of it.
Their defense looked terrible.
Yeah.
Their offense, I mean, Drew Brees is still Drew Brees. So
their defense looked terrible, and it's also not as good as the Eagles' defense. What makes you think that Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to have any success against this team?
I don't think he's going to have any success for what it's worth.
So the Eagles
I didn't say they're going to lose. I just don't think it's going to be a cakewalk.
If your quarterback doesn't have any success, how good is Tampa's defense, do you think?
How good is Tampa? They're
Can
mediocre.
They stop the Eagles?
With Nick Foles at the helm, yeah.
Okay. How many points do you think the Eagles score?
So here's my prediction. We're only like 4 minutes in, so I'll just do it now.
Yeah. I already gave you mine. 35-14 Birds.
17-13 Birds.
You only think the Eagles can score 17 points against this Tampa Bay?
Yes.
Wow.
Okay. But I give them the win. So a win is a win is a win.
Well, and I did give them a defensive touchdown, so that's not really Nick Foles. So, you know, maybe it's 28-14. Oh, no. They only win by 2 touchdowns. Speaking of winning by multiple touchdowns, did you see the Penn State score?
Kent State
destroyed.
Yeah, that was not a good football game. There were other good football games around.
It's week two of the NCAA season. Unless you're playing one of the premier matchups, the Notre Dame versus Michigan, you have some stinkers.
Yeah. I mean, LSU and Auburn was a great game.
Sure.
So, but LSU's been better than I thought they were going to be. 2-0 or 2-0 or 3-0?
Probably 2-0 because I think there's only been 2 weeks, Mike.
No, there's been three.
Has there been three?
Yeah.
Okay. Shows you how much I pay attention to college football. I vaguely pay attention to Penn State a little bit.
Yeah, and Penn State's whatever.
Yeah, they're the only decent local team. You know, nobody talks about Temple's football team. Even
That's
though
true.
They technically have one. They play their home games in the Link. Or at least they used to. I don't know if they still do.
That is true.
But regardless.
LSU is 3-0. I was right. There okay. you go.
So the Eagles. You said 17-14. You think it's a bit
no,
of a nail biter?
17-13.
You need a bit of a nail biter?
I don't know if...
17-13 is a nail biter.
Yeah, I guess it's a nail biter. I think it's more...
When it's a one possession
game,
it's
going to be an ugly game. I don't know if our secondary... DeSean Jackson is playing. I know he was like questionable.
Who cares?
But he's playing, so I don't know if our defense can really contain him all that much.
Somebody's got to throw to him.
Sure.
Fitzpatrick's not going to have time.
Fitzpatrick just threw for 400 yards, 4 touchdowns.
That's great. Compare the Saints defensive line to the Eagles defensive line.
Eagles defensive line is one of the best in football. Yeah.
And the Eagles are also better coverage than the Saints. So he's going to have smaller windows to fly into.
I don't know about that.
They're at least on par.
Not Marshawn Lattimore for the Saints is a beast.
Sure. They're at least on par. Across the whole secondary.
Maybe.
You know, Saints might have one better player. That's fine. But I'll take the Eagles unit as a whole every day of the week.
Sure. But, I mean, the Saints also have a Hall of Famer on their team. Not on their defense, but on their team in Drew Brees.
Sure, that's fair.
And he had a good game. I mean, he did what Drew Brees does, but...
Right, they put up a bunch of points. There was just no defense in that game.
We don't have a Drew Brees.
No, but you don't need a Drew Brees if you're a good team.
The
only reason the Saints are good, if you take Drew Brees and replace him with a league average quarterback, New Orleans sucks.
I don't know about sucks. They're better than... Or they'd be worse than, you know, they hit them with him, obviously. But... I don't know if they suck because their defense is better than. I mean, if you remember the last 3 or 4 games last season, the Saints' defense did look bad.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, got it all together. They figured some things out, and by the end of the year, they were good. So
sure.
It's week one, week two. I mean, it's what you expect.
Yeah, but they're
you expect sloppy football.
There are a couple teams with elite quarterbacks that if you replace them with a league average quarterback, the team would be way, way, way worse.
Oh yeah.
New England. Is a mediocre team with...
See, I don't know about that. Only because you Bill Belichick.
No, I understand. I understand. I'm just saying their odds of winning any particular game go way down.
Sure.
Green Bay is kind of the same
way. No, they're 100%. If Rodgers goes down, they're done. I mean,
you saw he
went down in the first quarter.
Yeah. The Bears dominated that first half.
Yeah, they were down 20-0. Khalil Mack had the game of... anybody's life in the first half.
He's playing like he's invigorated.
Yeah.
I guess it's better being in Chicago than Oakland.
Right.
What a shock.
But yeah, and then he comes back. Who knows what they shot him up with.
Exactly. I'm sure there's a whole ton of cortisone in that name.
Yeah, and then he came back like Superman and saved the day.
So the Packers are a mediocre team without Rodgers. The New England Patriots are significantly worse. I wouldn't say they're bad, but they're significantly worse without Brady.
Yeah.
The Saints are the same way.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And the Eagles are a different team because even without our stud quarterback, even without Carson Wentz, the Eagles are still a pretty damn good team.
Sure, yeah. And the defense keeps them in games, for sure.
I don't know if they're 2010, you know, whatever year the Patriots went 17-0, 18-0.
Right.
I don't know if they're that good, but they're a good team with, you know, even without Carson Wentz.
Yeah, sure.
With Carson Wentz... this team has no reason not to make it back to the playoffs as your division leader at 12-4, 13-3, maybe 14-2 if things go well.
Yeah, I mean, well,
if Carson Wentz starts all 16 games. Now, we don't know when Carson Wentz is going to come back. So maybe Nick Foles picks up a couple of losses here.
But their defense or their division stinks.
Right.
I mean,
they don't play their division till the end of the year.
Sure. Yeah, but for the record, since tearing his ACL, Carson Wentz still has the same number of touchdowns as Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott. So there you go.
Who do the Cowboys play today? Do you know?
I don't know off the top of my head. Hold up.
Because that might just stay the same.
But, it might.
But no, regardless, the Eagles are still a really good team, even without Carson Wentz. Because Nick Foles, I would say Nick Foles is about a league average quarterback.
Yeah.
Would you say?
They play the New York Giants.
Oof, somebody's got to win that game. Yikes.
Yeah. I'll give the edge to the Giants in that game, I think.
Probably, yeah. No, I would say Nick Foles is about a league average quarterback.
Yeah.
So you took Carson Wentz, one of the best, probably the best quarterback under 25 in the league. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Probably put him in the top five the whole league, period.
Yeah. I don't know about that, but yeah.
Top five?
Of the whole league?
Name five NFL quarterbacks who are better than Carson Wentz right now.
Okay, this is easy.
Easy, huh? Go for it.
So you, Tom Brady.
One.
Obviously, Drew Brees.
No. Two.
Drew Brees. Okay. Russell Wilson.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
What do you mean, stop it? Russell Wilson is 100 times better of a quarterback.
Well, I don't 100 know times okay. better.
I don't.
One.
Okay.
Mike Gilletto.
No, that's. Okay. I spoke a little too 10:26 soon.
10:26 a.m. No, okay, all right. Sunday, he's September 16th.
All right. He's not 100 times better.
Russell Wilson what I meant is 100 to say, times better than Carson Wentz.
What I meant to say is he is 100% better.
So he's twice as good.
Sure.
Oh, my God.
He's a better quarterback than Carson Wentz right
Mike
now.
Mike underscore right Gilletto now, on Twitter.
Right now, he is better than Carson Wentz. Maybe you just don't watch enough games.
Fine.
But he's a better quarterback.
Listen, even if I'm going to give you that, fine. That's three.
Just,
keep going.
His team just stinks.
Three. Keep going.
Ben Roethlisberger, Hall of Famer.
5 years ago, he's probably better than Carson
he's
Wentz.
He's better.
Now,
better.
I don't know.
He's better.
I would say they're on par.
And I probably, maybe he's five. Oh, maybe I might give you Stafford. Matt Stafford. His team just stinks too.
It's hard to judge Matt Stafford because the team is so bad around
exactly.
him. It's hard to see what he does. But come on, Carson Wentz is a top five quarterback in this league.
I don't know about that. We haven't seen him play in how long?
It doesn't matter.
What do you mean it doesn't matter?
Kid's 23 years old or however old he is.
He's 25, 26, something
fine.
Like that.
Fine. He's been around for a year and a half. He played a season and a half.
Sure.
Kid's got 10 more years here.
If he takes care of his body and you know doesn't get hurt as often.
Come on, you can't call that injury.
It's his second year in a row he got hurt.
Sure.
Different injury, sure, but he's got to stop putting himself in harm's way. The first year was the ribs.
And that'll come with a little bit of intelligence, a little bit of foreknowledge.
Sure, I just think it's naive to say that he's a top five quarterback also, right now already. Like, I think he has that potential for sure. I don't think he's there yet.
Okay. That's fine. I think you're wrong. But I understand where you're coming from.
You know, I wouldn't even put Stafford five. Stafford might be six. I forgot Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, you did. So, I'll give you that one. Yeah. The only slam dunk names I'll give you, by the way, are Rodgers and Brady. I think
Drew Brees is a slam dunk.
Sure. I think Carson Wentz is on par with Ben Roethlisberger and Matt Stafford and all these, you know, mid-level guys that you name.
They're not mid-level. They're elite quarterbacks in the league.
Very good, but not quite top tier. The next tier down. I think Carson Wentz is
Russell
in that
Wilson
tier.
Is a top tier quarterback.
That might be the dumbest thing you've ever said.
How's that the dumbest thing I've ever said? He's an elite quarterback. Anyway. The way that he makes plays just go on, I mean, he's got a good arm. He can move. His team just stinks around him. He's got no running back. His offensive line stinks. His defense isn't the same as the Legion of Doom that they were in, you know, 3-4 years ago. The team just stinks.
So we both have the Eagles winning today.
Yes.
Who do the Eagles have next week?
They have the Indianapolis Colts. Who knows?
That's a win.
Who knows if Andrew Luck can throw a football by then?
Is Andrew Luck better than Carson Wentz?
Right now, no.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
Before the injury, I would have said, I think it would have been close. God. No, it would have been close.
Okay, we'll talk about that game next week.
It would have been close. Yeah,
you guys can let us know what you think of this strategy.
That's a W next week.
You guys can let us know. You guys can let us know what you think of this strategy of predicting the game before they happen, but you guys won't hear it until after. Let us know on Twitter at YWT Podcast. We're gonna move on now into some Phillies, and boy, the Phillies are trying really hard not to make.
Yeah,
the
they're done.
It sure seems like they're done. Are they still seven
they're
out?
They're done. Six and a half.
Six and a half out.
Yep.
Like, it's not technically over, but it's
nah,
it's
they're done.
Over.
They play Miami today, then the Mets, and then the Braves. So,
yeah,
I mean,
you gotta win all four of these games. You gotta win Sunday, and then all three games against the Mets to even put yourself in a chance.
Yeah,
if you're within five games by the time you start your second to last series against the Braves, you got a shot.
Yeah.
But you got to do that. And I don't think this team can do it.
No.
Like I was at the game on Friday night, the 14-2 game or whatever it was. And the offense looked great. Defense still looked pretty mediocre.
Yeah, the defense stinks.
Yeah.
Pitching isn't that good.
Like this, honestly, I know we've talked about it for a while. And I know a month ago we were saying this team's definitely making the playoffs. No.
No.
No. No. They're not. They're certainly not.
But, I mean, hey, we wanted them to play meaningful September baseball. They played like one game that was meaningful in September.
These games are still meaningful. Nah, they're meaningful for a different purpose.
These are
now no longer make the playoffs meaningful. These are now don't embarrass yourselves meaningful. What's the Phillies record in the last 10?
Last 10, 4-6.
Wow, that's better than it was because it was 2-8 the other night. So, I mean, listen, how many games do they have left? What's their record?
They're 76-71.
76-71, so 147. They have 15 games left.
Something like that, yeah.
If you win 12 of those, you might have a shot.
Yeah, but what makes you think they can win 12 of 15?
I don't. But if you can win 12 of them.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, just go out and just try to win every game. Don't put your tail between your legs.
No, exactly. If these games are meaningful because at this point you're playing for pride. Because over the last month, you've embarrassed yourself.
Yeah, and nobody expected them to really be in a playoff position anyway.
No, honestly, the NL East is weird this year because nobody expected the Braves or the Phillies.
Yeah.
It
was Nationals division.
You can ask anybody in April. It's Washington's division to lose.
For sure.
And they sure lost it.
Yeah.
And they look like, they look like they're going to lose Bryce Harper for nothing.
Yeah, Harper's gone. Come to Philly.
They didn't trade him.
Nope.
When they probably should have.
Yeah.
They did end up getting Daniel Murphy out, which, I mean, is good for them because they at least recouped some sort of asset.
Right.
But you're about to lose Bryce Harper, one of the top 3 to 5 outfielders in the game.
Yeah.
For nothing to free agency.
Right.
Did you hear? Apparently, there are MLB scouts, like professional MLB scouts, who think there's a real chance the Phillies get Machado and Harper.
Yeah, I did hear that. It's been a story going on for a while now.
Right.
I mean, this team becomes insane if that happens.
I mean,
pitching's still weak. They have to address the pitching.
I think the team gets way better. Where does Machado play?
Short.
Okay, so what do you do with Kingery?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
He's not the player and never will be the player that Machado is.
I understand that, and I'm not faulting you for that logic.
Maybe you trade him for either starting pitcher, a really good starting pitcher, or a good relief guy.
Do you think you can get a really good starting pitcher for Scott Kingery? Pull up Scott Kingery's stats for me.
Maybe not, but...
Maybe
you'd have to package him maybe with a couple other pieces.
Yeah, honestly, at that point, I'd be okay with trading like Kingery and two decent... to good prospects. Not your top tier, but kind of that next batch of prospects. Trade Kingery and two of those guys for a starting pitcher.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And their starting pitching really hasn't been awful.
It's been hit
this
or miss.
Season. I mean,
Zach Eflin pitched well on Friday, but his last couple starts have been up and down.
Yeah, and Pivetta started the year really, really good.
Right. Velasquez has been pretty bad recently.
Yeah, lately Pivetta can't go 5 innings. Well, he gets pulled after 4.
I think part of that is because Eflin and Pivetta, this is the longest they've ever pitched. This is the most innings they've ever pitched.
And now with, September rosters, they get bigger and they expand. So you have a ton of guys in the bullpen that you can just use. So you don't...
Right.
You're more likely to go to the bullpen early because you have more arms there.
Yeah. Did you see the other night that the Marlins went to a position pitcher?
No, I did not.
Yeah, in the ninth inning. They had guys in the bullpen.
Did they really?
I think so. Yeah. I think they just kind of decided to...
Screw it.
Yeah. Listen, they're not playing for anything. They're playing in front of 12 fans every home game, and they're 400 games out of the division. So
yeah, who knows what Derek Jeter's doing over there?
Oh boy, that's one of the weird ownerships in sports. By the way, why does Derek Jeter own the Marlins?
The Marlins, right?
Strange. It's right up there with Wayne Gretzky owning the Coyotes, was it?
Yeah, it was. Did he own them?
I know he coached them. I think he also had an ownership piece.
He might, yeah.
Yeah, up there with Will Smith owning the Sixers, which he did for a couple of years.
I think he still does. Is he
still in the group?
It's a very small percentage, but I'm pretty sure he does. Yeah.
Okay. Where? How did we get here?
I don't know.
It's a good question. The Phillies are kind of on their way out.
They're done.
Yeah, you're playing for pride. You still have a chance. If Atlanta chokes and loses 14 of their last 15, all right, sure.
At this point, just take them out to the shed and put them down.
I know, but
I mean, what you gotta do,
but you know what? I know we've kind of compared this to the team of the mid 2000s a lot, but you got your young prospects who are kind of coming up and getting some fielding time. You got your Kingery's and your Francos and your younger guys. This year you added Santana and Arrieta, who, by the way, Arrieta's been...
He's been good.
He's been good, but he hasn't been $25 million good, well, no, or whatever he's making.
I didn't expect him to be 2015 right. Jake Arrieta that won a Cy Young.
If you compare this to that mid-2000s team, Santana is your Jim Thome.
I wouldn't go that far, but I get your comparison.
But that's about what you're doing. And then actually the comparisons there are kind of nuts. Got him from Cleveland, or played for Cleveland. Blocking another first baseman. He blocked Rhys Hoskins. Yeah. Imagine if they had put Ryan Howard in left field. Imagine what could have been different.
Well, I think it's actually similar because didn't Thome block Barrel and then they moved Barrel to left?
No, I think Barrel was always an outfielder. Howard.
No, Barrel was a first baseman.
Was he really?
Yeah, he moved to left.
I think he moved to left before.
It might have been before. It might have been before.
Yeah, I think by the time that team rolled around, he was blocking Howard.
Right. But there's one difference where Tomei's a Hall of Famer and Santana's not.
I mean, you never know. Honestly, he might be, but probably not.
I don't see it.
Probably not. Do the Phillies have to re-sign Wilson Ramos?
Do they have to?
I think they have to. And I think they should.
I think it's weird because Kapler hasn't been using him as much as I would have liked him to.
I think
he likes Alfaro a lot.
I think part of that is Ramos's age.
He can't be that old.
And well, not even his age. He's been battling he got hurt. Some injuries.
Yeah, of course. Right. I mean, maybe that's
and
part of it.
I think he's not 100%. So he's playing him less frequently to kind of let him heal on his days off, rather than just let him sit, get it all knocked out of the way, and then catch three games in a row.
No, if you're
he's kind of spacing him out a little bit to let him slowly heal.
If they would sign him and be their everyday catcher, their workhorse behind the plate.
If you're going to sign him, you're going to sign him to be your everyday catcher.
Then 100%.
You're not signing him to split with Alfaro.
No, he's better than Alfaro and Knapp. So
I agree.
Easily.
I agree.
He's a better fielder.
Knapp
he's a better
is a triple
hitter.
A catcher.
He's, yeah.
At best.
So, yeah, no, you have to do it. If he wants to stay here and he's going to be your everyday catcher, and then, yeah, I'm 100%. Sign me up.
Yeah. Imagine if the middle of the order next year is Machado leading off. Okay.
Okay. Here's our dream team. Yeah. Here you go.
Who even cares if Machado leads off? Like, he could probably... No. Let's say Machado in the 3-hole, Harper in the 4-hole, Ramos batting 5.
I would go Hoskins 5.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Hoskins 5, Ramos 6.
Ramos 6. That's pretty good. Franco That's and great. Hernandez leading off. Top 2. Yeah, sounds pretty good. That's a World Series team.
Yeah, and then you got to boot Odubel Herrera to the curb.
Yeah, you can keep him on the bench.
Whatever. Stinks.
I don't dislike him as much as some people do.
He's an okay hitter.
Yeah.
He's a boneheaded base runner and an atrocious fielder. So.
I think you're a little too harsh on him, but I understand where you're coming from. I don't begrudge you that. Yep, Phillies are out. I'm getting a little nervous about my 500 bet, by the way.
I think they're 5 games over 500.
Yeah. They're also 4-6 in their last 10.
That is true.
And 2 days ago, they were 2-8 in their last 10.
That's true.
I think they're
things are getting interesting here.
Right. I think they're going to grit their teeth and make it, but boy, it's going to be close. So, is that it for the Phillies? Anything else you wanted to say?
No, I don't think so.
All right, well, that's our Phillies talk.
I think that was it.
And again, you know, as I say quite often, let us know what you think about the Phillies. Do they re-sign Harper and Machado? Or do they sign Harper and Machado? Do they re-sign Ramos? Do they add a pitcher? What do the Phillies do in the offseason? Let us know on Twitter, at YWTPodcast. And I think now it's time to get into the Flyers.
Yeah.
Training camp is open.
Yep.
The Flyers are here. 18 days until the regular season.
Yep.
18 days. I had a whole thing planned because I thought it was 19 days. And I was going to do this whole thing about Nolan Patrick and wearing the number 19 and let's talk all about it. And then I looked and it was like 18 days. So I guess we can talk about
Mike Richards.
Mike Richards. Well, that means next week will be 11 days and we can talk about Travis Konecny.
Sure. It sounds like a lazy topic. Something Broad Street hockey would do.
In the meantime, training camp opened. Konecny is playing in training camp. Konecny's on the third line.
Yeah. With who?
I'm not sure. All I know is people are losing their minds about him being on the third line.
Because that's what Flyers universe does.
I think Vorobyev is with him.
Okay, then I don't put any stock into that then, because I don't know if Vorobyev's going to make the team.
I would like to see Vorobyev make the team as your 3C.
I just don't know if... Maybe I just haven't seen enough of him.
Travis Konecny had very high praise for him. Did you read that?
Yeah, no, but he's not... I mean, what's he supposed to say, though?
He's fine. He's good. I like playing with him. But no, he went out of his way. He was not asked about, what do you think of him? He went out of his way to say that he's a great kid and Travis likes playing with him and he's creative on the ice. And I think Mikhail Vorobyev wears orange and black this season. I don't know if it's straight out of camp or if it takes a little while, maybe an injury or a trade. Please trade Jori Lehterä, please, for the love of God. I
will never trade Jori Lehterä.
He's only got 1 year left on his deal. So if you're going to trade him, this is the year.
But he's got cinder blocks on his feet.
I understand, but maybe you can dump his contract.
Yeah.
Arizona needs players, right?
Arizona's going to be better than you think.
Yeah, but they're where contracts go to die. They're still paying... I think they're still paying Datsyuk.
Is it Datsyuk?
Yeah. I think so.
They might still be paying Pronger.
Or did that expire? No, I think Pronger's expired.
Did it?
Yeah.
Okay. But Datsyuk, they're definitely paying. So.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah. Even though he's playing in the K.
Yep.
But...
and dominating that league, by the way.
I mean... sure. But obviously. It's the K.
Yeah.
Let's see if he comes back in 3 years, Jagr style.
No, he won't.
How insane would that be, though? How filthy would that be? Imagine the Arizona GM calls him next offseason and says, so, Pavel.
Want to come back?
Look how good we are.
Right.
Dylan Strome. They have a good young team out there.
Ekman Larson.
Clayton Keller.
Clayton
Keller's a stud.
Yeah.
He might score 40 this year.
I think it's a little much when there's really not much around him offensively, but...
well, that's the thing. Even on bad teams, somebody's got to score.
I mean, I guess.
And especially if you think Arizona's going to be better than they were last year, where they started out in 12 or whatever it was, before losing to the Flyers.
I don't think they're going to be a playoff team, but I just don't think they're going to be in the basement.
Right. I think somebody's got to score on that team.
Yeah.
If they're going to be decent... even if they're not a playoff team, if they're going to be fine, decent, whatever you want to call it, somebody's got to put the puck in the net.
Yeah.
Who is it? Clayton Keller's the only real offensive threat they have outside of Alex Galchenyuk.
Right.
And they're probably going to play together.
I would guess, yeah.
You would think. So, we haven't done that in a while.
No, we haven't. It felt good.
It did. Yeah, somebody's got to score, and I think Arizona. I think you have a point there. I think Arizona is going to be decent.
Yeah, I don't think they're a playoff team, but I think they're better.
Predict the Metro for me, top to bottom.
The Metro top to bottom,
or bottom to top, your choice.
All right, so I will go with the Pittsburgh Penguins 1.
Yeah.
The Philadelphia Flyers 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Washington Capitals 3.
And that's why I said really. It's not so much that you have the Flyers at 2. It's the fact that you have Washington at 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Washington at 3. And then here it's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
Not
the Rangers, not the Islanders.
Yeah, let's
probably go. Probably not the Hurricanes.
Let's go Jersey 4.
Okay. Columbus 5.
No, let's go Hurricanes 5.
Hurricanes 5. Okay.
Columbus 6.
Do you think Columbus trades Panarin or Bobrovsky?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what their plan is with either of those guys.
Well,
I mean, Panarin's gone.
Right now, it looks like their plan is to lose Panarin to free agency.
Exactly. So maybe they trade Panarin, especially if they're as low as I think they're going
to
be.
Right. If they're bad at the deadline, they have to shop them.
Right. So what
you
did
just
I
have to.
Yeah. So what did I say? Columbus 6. Then let's go the Islanders 7, Rangers 8.
It's going to be a bad time to be a hockey fan in New York.
Yeah.
They're both teams are
or flip flop them because
regardless, they're both atrocious.
I mean, they both have young players that could keep them sort of interesting. I mean, you have Barzal in, with the Islanders, and then you have
Val Filppula is probably going to play 2C in Long Island.
Yeah,
that's bad.
But yeah,
he was a bad 3C here.
And then nobody, you know what? I'm going to flip that because the Rangers 7, the Islanders 8.
Okay,
so there you go.
Okay. And the only reason the Rangers are 7 to me and not 8 is Lundqvist. Henrik Lundqvist.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he's like,
I have to think about that. That's the reason I switched him.
A good goalie is going to win you 20 games by himself.
Right.
You know, especially when your team is not going to win 20 games.
Right.
And who's in Long Island? Thomas Greiss.
Is Halak? No, Halak went somewhere else.
Halak's backing up Bobby Lou, isn't he?
No. Reimer is still, I think.
Oh, you're right. Halak went
somewhere. Boston, maybe?
Yeah.
Halak might have went to Boston.
By the way, that division's going to be a lot of fun. The Atlantic is going to be a ton of fun.
Yeah, for sure.
I do not want to be the wild card this year that has to play the Atlantic.
Yeah.
The East is tough, man. So the East playoffs are going to be tough.
This is a way too early Stanley Cup prediction.
Okay,
here's mine. So, coming out of the West will be the Winnipeg Jets.
I agree. I actually had that exact same prediction.
Okay, there you go. The Winnipeg Jets will come out of the Western Conference.
Okay.
Coming out of the East, I think they're going to be the third place in their division or a wild card team, but they're going to get hot.
Okay.
It's going to be the Boston Bruins.
Yeah.
It's going to be the Boston Bruins.
I think they're the third team. They're the third team because there's... Man, it's tough. That division, man.
That division's nuts. I mean, you have Toronto, you have Boston, you have Tampa, you have Florida. I mean, the division's good, other than the Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah, right.
Other than Detroit, that's a good division. And Ottawa, obviously. But
Yeah, predict the Atlantic.
Okay.
We're not going to do all division. Maybe we'll do the Western Conference next week.
Right. Well, I didn't give you my winner yet. I'll give you my winner for the Stanley Cup after this.
Yeah, that's fine.
So, all right. I didn't go, you know, think about this.
We haven't gone in depth on this either. I sprung this on Mike 2 minutes ago when I asked him to predict the Metro.
Number one.
It's tough to bet against Tampa.
I will go with Tampa.
Yeah, I agree.
Number two. See, I feel like this is actually easier. Number two, I will go with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Okay, you and I differ there.
Really? Who do you have?
I think Boston's going to keep.
You think so?
Yeah.
With them adding Tavares?
Yeah, but... Their defense is Jake Gardner, Morgan Riley, sure. Ron Hainsey.
Yeah.
Like, your third best defenseman is Ron Hainsey.
Yeah. I think it's a crapshoot with, you know, two and three.
Right. I think they're a deeper team offensively because Boston kind of only has that one line.
Right. And that's going to be a fun first playoff matchup.
Oh, absolutely. It was this year.
Right, exactly.
It was this year, and Toronto's gotten better.
Yeah.
It went seven games, and Toronto's gotten better.
Right.
I'm not saying they can't beat them. I just think that over the course of the regular season, Boston's going to do the thing.
All right, so I have number three, Boston.
Okay.
I have number four.
You have Toronto hosting that series. Maybe that makes the difference.
Maybe. But apparently not, because I said Boston's going to the finals.
Right.
Number four,
I feel bad for Toronto fans.
Yeah. Number four is
Florida. That means you lose to Boston in the first round again.
Yeah, that'd be rough.
Yikes.
Number four is Florida.
Okay.
Number five... Oh, God.
Yeah, it falls off.
Number
Montreal.
Five. I was going to say Montreal, Ottawa, or Detroit.
All of which are bad.
I go Detroit.
Yeah. You have Anthony Mantha. Dylan Larkin.
Pavel Sedina.
Jimmy Howard's fine.
He's okay.
He's fine when he's healthy. He's probably better than Craig Anderson.
Yeah.
And he's probably better than... Oh, he's not better than Carey Price.
No, he's not.
Well, he's better than whoever their third goalie is because Carey Price gets hurt every year.
Right.
He's better than Charlie Lindgren.
So who did I say five was Detroit? And then let's go Montreal's... No, did I say...
Montreal and then Ottawa?
Montreal and Ottawa, yeah.
Okay. Why do I feel like we're forgetting somebody in that division?
I don't know. I do too.
Tampa, Florida, Boston... Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa, Detroit. We're definitely missing somebody. Buffalo.
Yeah. They're very forgetful.
Number one overall pick in the draft.
Yeah.
They're going to be better this year.
I'll slide them right behind Florida.
At five?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, who are your wild cards? So you had Buffalo, Florida, and then in the East it was New Jersey and Columbus.
Yeah.
So which two of those are the wild cards?
New Jersey, Florida.
Okay. I think Buffalo has a shot.
They do have a shot, and obviously because they're going to be right there with my prediction. So I think they have a shot. But
imagine if Buffalo misses the playoffs, wins the lottery. Next season, their team includes Jack Eichel, Casey Mittelstadt, Rasmus Dahlin, and Jack Hughes.
Gross. Yeah.
Gross.
Uh-huh.
They need a goalie.
They do.
They need a goalie bad.
That they do.
But Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is coming up, and they like him a lot up there.
That was a mouthful.
Yeah. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Look him up.
Sure.
Look up his eliteprospects.com page.
Okay. Anyway, back to my Stanley Cup prediction.
Okay. So you have Boston coming out of the East and Winnipeg coming out of the West.
And then in six games, the Winnipeg Jets will hoist the Stanley Cup since being back in Winnipeg.
It's funny. I had Winnipeg. I had Winnipeg coming out of the West. I think that's a good prediction. They're a good, tough team.
Yeah, they are.
Patrick Laine got a year better. Kyle Connor got a year better. Connor Hellebuck got a year better. Dustin Byfuglien still in his prime. He's on the back end of his prime, but he's in his prime. Same with Blake Wheeler. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a really good one. Now, I might have to go with San Jose because we're going to get into this.
Yep.
In a minute.
Let's just get into it now.
Yeah. They added Erik Karlsson.
The Erik Karlsson saga is over. Well, the drama is over.
Mark Edward Vlasic, who's probably a top 15 defenseman in the NHL right now,
yeah,
is their third best defenseman. He's their third best player in a defensive spot.
Hold on.
I know you don't consider Karlsson really a defenseman. Well, no. And same with Burns.
Burns is more the guy. Karlsson at least is...
They can't play them together, can they?
Karlsson's at least competent in his own end. Right. Burns really isn't.
Yeah, but if you play Burns with Vlasic...
Yeah, for sure.
You're fine.
Yeah.
And then Karlsson with whoever. I don't even know the rest of their top six. Right. It does not matter because you added Erik Karlsson for nothing.
They really didn't give up that much. I mean,
nothing.
Chris Tierney's a fine player.
Eugene Melnyk needs to go. How have Ottawa Senators...
Is it even Melnyk?
It doesn't matter.
He's their owner.
Why haven't you fired your GM by now?
Yeah.
Like, why did they not learn their lesson when they traded Hoffman to San Jose and then they flipped him back to Florida?
Yeah. This has a Hoffman clause in it.
I know it does.
If you trade him to the Eastern Conference, you get a first round pick.
They get an extra first round pick before 2022.
That's hilarious.
It's unreal. But like,
and
apparently, by the way, the Ottawa Senators organization refused to trade Karlsson to anyone in the East.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently there were other offers on the table.
That's got to be an ego thing, right?
It has to
like,
be.
Like, I don't understand that. Why? Maybe I could sort of understand not wanting to trade him to Montreal or Toronto or one of your big guys. But you trade him to Carolina. What the hell is that going to matter to you?
Right. But the thing is, imagine Carolina's defensive core with Erik Karlsson. Yeah. They already have a good D core.
They do.
Regardless, like... He's got 1 year left.
They're going to offer him an extension.
I understand. And it broke today that apparently San Jose's GM is expecting to offer him an 8-year extension.
Yeah.
But let's say he doesn't take that. Let's say he walks to free agency. He can still sign for one of your rivals.
Yeah.
He can sign for Toronto.
Right.
He can sign. Well, probably not Toronto because they're not going to be able to afford him.
Right.
But he can sign in Montreal. He can sign in
Boston.
He can sign in your division.
Yeah.
He can sign in Tampa,
Florida. Yeah, wherever.
Like,
I mean, that's the thing that doesn't make sense. Why would you?
And you're not even going to be good this year.
No,
you're not going to be fighting against this team for
exactly.
a playoff spot.
It doesn't
I don't want to give him.
It doesn't make any sense.
Like, it's the dumbest thing on earth.
It doesn't. I mean, it has to be an ego play. Make sense. Why would you string yourself?
I wonder if Ron Hextall really did call. I know we talked about it a while ago, but I wonder if Ron Hextall called and offered him something.
Well, listen, you'd have to
he said, I'm not trading him to the East.
Listen, you'd have to be dumb to at least not call.
Exactly.
I mean, what's the worst that could happen? He says no, which
right, exactly.
apparently he did to everybody in the East.
Yeah, I just don't understand how that
sense.
Line of thinking makes
no sense.
It's the dumbest thing on earth. And especially because... Again, you're not going to be good this year.
Right.
You're not going to be fighting against the Eastern Conference teams for a playoff spot
exactly.
this year.
So it doesn't make sense.
You're just... And like, it's almost a good thing. Imagine if they trade him to Toronto.
Of course it's a good thing in
and
the Flyers end.
Imagine if you trade him to Toronto. You get Toronto as... You give him to Toronto as a one-year rental, and you know he can't re-sign there.
Right.
You get three or four, or two or three of Toronto's best prospects back. That weakens them long-term.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you want to cripple a division team? Like, if Karlsson
sense.
Had 4 years left and wanted out, okay, I can see not trading him to the East.
Right, because you got
to
deal with him
for
the next 4 years.
You think you're going to be competitive in 3 or 4 years, and you don't want to have to play against him in a playoff situation. But he's going to go wherever he wants in free agency. He could sign in Montreal.
Right.
Ooh, Shea Weber, Eric Carlson.
Yeah, that's still, I know. Team's still a train wreck.
I know. Shea Weber, Eric Carlson, Carey Price. You got something there.
You need somebody to put the puck in the net.
Speaking of Montreal, that's the other trade that happened this week. Montreal traded Max Pacioretty to Vegas.
That's right, they did.
Yeah.
You went on with that. I was like, what trade are you talking about? Again, I forgot about Pacioretty.
Again, for not much.
Yeah.
Like, it's not an awful return, I don't think. Because you did get a decent prospect. You got a first-round pick. You got, you know...
Well,
you got,
I think the trade was Thomas Tatar, Nick Suzuki, and a second-round pick.
You're right. It was Thomas Tatar, Nick Suzuki, and a second-round pick. Honestly, it's not a bad return.
It's not awful.
Tatar's got a couple...
In comparison Tatar's to what you gave up to get Tatar, which was nuts to get rid of a first, second, and third for Thomas Tatar.
I know. And apparently that was a panic move by Vegas management at the trade deadline. Yeah. Because they were trying to get Carlson.
Right.
Couldn't get Carlson, so they went and got Tatar instead and way overpaid for him.
Nick Suzuki's a solid player.
I agree. So, think about it. Tatar's got, I think, 3 years left on a decent deal. So, you got him for a couple years in Montreal. If he helps you, then great. He helps you.
Right.
You have Nick Suzuki, who's a really solid prospect. Like, a really solid prospect. Was a 2017 first-round pick. And a second.
Yeah.
For a guy... who had 1 year left.
That was going to leave anyway.
And was going to leave.
And he's American, which they hate up there.
I know. And that's, honestly, I firmly believe that that's the whole reason he's out.
Do you really? Yeah. I was just sort of making a joke.
No, because they hate him because he doesn't speak French.
Yeah.
He's their captain and doesn't speak French.
Well, that goes
They refuse to hire a coach that doesn't speak French.
Well, that goes with the whole ego thing that I was talking about. Like, it's just...
Montreal's ego is ridiculous. Yeah,
they are.
Because unless you, like... Literally a job requirement for the Montreal head coaching position is you have to speak fluent French.
Doesn't make sense. I mean...
And I understand that that's the language of Quebec and that's what they all speak. And
if you're
coach... But at the same time, just put the best man on the job.
Exactly. That should be a lawsuit.
Man, we covered a lot today.
Yeah, we did.
We covered a lot today. We didn't really have too much of a focus because...
But that's languagist. Can there be some sort of lawsuit here?
Languagist.
Languages. Like, that's not like sexist or anything. Like, it's languagist.
Anyway... we covered a lot today. We didn't have really too much focus. Let's do our December preview.
I forgot that was a thing.
Yeah, we did our December preview. Before we go into our December preview, who do you think is the third line center for the Flyers come?
Scott Lawton.
Okay, so potentials: Scott Lawton, Mikhail Vorobyev. Maybe Morgan Frost.
I doubt it.
I know, but it's technically an option.
Yeah.
So, all right, December. The Flyers start December with a road date in Pittsburgh. Okay?
Okay.
4 days off and then a home game against Columbus. And then a 5-game road trip. Buffalo, Winnipeg, Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver. Okay? So you head to Western Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Buffalo to Winnipeg on a travel day. Overnight, back-to-back days.
Yeah.
And the Winnipeg game is at 3 p.m.
Yeah, the Buffalo game's at 1 p.m., though.
Right. Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, Western... You know, then you come home for 3 games against Detroit, Nashville, and Columbus. And then you're back on the road for the Christmas trip while Disney on Ice is in town. New York, the Rangers, Tampa, Florida, Carolina.
There you go.
New Year's Eve, Carolina. That's a cool game. 6 o'clock.
Yeah,
maybe I'll head down to North Carolina for that.
There you go.
Maybe I'll go down and see my dad, hang out for a couple days, go to the Flyers on New Year's Eve.
There you go. It's a way to do it.
So that's a lot of road games. Only 4 home games that month.
Yeah, it's a lot of you're a lot on the road.
Yeah,
especially in the Western
month,
Canada.
Man.
Yeah,
and your road games include Pittsburgh, Winnipeg, Tampa, Florida. That's a tough month.
Buffalo.
Man. Yeah, whatever.
So yeah, what do you think?
It's 14 games.
Yeah.
6-8.
6-8. So you have them hit a little skid here.
Yeah, which is about right for the Flyers.
Yeah, that's right. At one point here, I gotta throw in a 10-game losing streak.
Right.
I just gotta find where that's gonna be.
Right.
So just trying to think here. So you know, I'll just go game by game.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh loss.
Hold on, I gotcha. Road in Pittsburgh.
Loss.
Okay. Home against Columbus.
Win.
Road against Buffalo.
Win.
Okay. Road against Winnipeg.
Loss.
Road against Calgary.
Win.
Okay. Edmonton and Vancouver on back-to-back nights in Western Canada. Edmonton.
Loss and then a win.
Okay. Win in Vancouver. Yeah. Home against Detroit.
Win.
Home against Nashville.
Loss.
Home against Columbus.
Loss.
Home against, or on the road in New York to
win.
The Rangers.
Win.
On the road in Tampa.
Loss.
On the road in Florida.
Loss.
On the road in Carolina.
Win.
Okay. So you have seven.
I have seven. What? With seven wins?
Seven wins.
Out of how many games do they have?
14.
So I have 7-7?
Yeah, 500.
There you go.
That's a busy month, man.
It is.
A lot of back-to-backs, a lot of road back-to-backs where you're traveling.
Yep.
December's going to be a tough month for the Flyers.
Yeah, it is, for sure.
Yeah. And then it doesn't get any easier because on the first day, you know, we'll talk about this next week, obviously, but on the first day of, you know, 2019, they're in Nashville.
Yeah.
They travel from Carolina to Nashville the next night for New Year's Day.
That is true.
It doesn't get much easier.
No, it does not.
Now, we'll talk about it next week, but in January, you do have a lot more home games, so.
Well, yeah, it's got to balance out somewhere.
Right, exactly. So, we're not really going to go too much in depth on that because we are running towards the end of the show here.
Yep.
But
anything else you had to talk about?
No, we talked a little bit about the Flyers 3C. You think it's going to be Lawton?
Yeah, but I think it's either Lawton or Wheel.
I don't mind Wheel.
One of the two.
I like Jordan Wheel a lot. I don't know how his face-offs are.
And like my reasoning is this, that I want one of those two. Like the reason I want Lawton is because I think the wingers are going to be Simmons and Lindblom.
Yep.
I know we talked about Konechny earlier, but I think he's going to stay in the top six.
Okay.
So I think the third line is going to be Lindblom and Simmons. That's okay. Not exactly a fast pair.
No.
So I want somebody like Lawton.
Wheel with them would be great.
Lawton or Wheel. Somebody that has wheels. Pun intended.
Stop it.
Stop. Yeah, I want to add a little bit of speed to those two because Lindblom and Simmons are not exactly quick.
I hate you, by the way.
I thought that was a great pun.
Oh my God. That's the episode title right there.
Someone with wheels?
Someone with wheels.
There you go.
All right. On that note, let's get out of here. You can find the show on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can find more of that awful pun at Mike_Giletto. You can also find me at K Collington. You can find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcast, LastWordOnSports.com, and our brand new YouTube page. I don't know how long that page is going to be brand new, but I'll change it at some point. And on that note, that's it. We both have an Eagles win today. That game starts in about 2 hours.
Let's go, Birds.
So go, Birds. And yep. We'll see you next week.
But somebody that has wheels?